Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I try to bring you exciting new guests about UFOs and the paranormal. And this week I'm really excited to have a guest whose name is Gary White, and I'm really excited because he's going to be talking about UFO encounters, specifically his own very extensive UFO encounters. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that UFOs are really my passion, although we do discuss a lot of other paranormal stuff, and I think, of course, a lot of these fields are related. But tonight we're going to be talking about UFOs and the UFO experiences of Gary White. Now, Gary is currently a resident of Nevada, but he first began having UFO experiences as a child while living in California. And a lot of these memories have been suppressed and are kind of vague, but it was in years later, actually, at age 25, when he had a really remarkable UFO encounter with a friend. And this was really the beginning, I think, of the opening, or whatever you want to call it, the start of a really amazing series of experiences. For it wasn't long after this that Gary began actually receiving telepathic messages, which he found out later were from the ETs. And following this, he actually had some more UFO sightings, and the ETs revealed themselves to him face-to-face on more than one occasion. And since then, he has been given an enormous amount of knowledge about the ETs, on their origins, their abilities to shape-shift and things like this, their agenda on Earth, the future of humanity, and how they're affecting humanity, and what this whole UFO subject means for all of us. While he has had some missing time encounters, the most of his encounters have been very positive, and for example, he says, like many other witnesses have told me, that the ETs have helped him develop his mental powers, psychic abilities, that type of thing, which appears to be pretty common among people who are having very extensive experiences. So this is definitely one of the more complex and fascinating extensive UFO cases you're going to hear about. So I'm really, really excited to have Gary on the show. So Gary, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, President. Preston, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, speaking with you last night and earlier, while a lot of your experiences are, of course, unique, it's just really gratifying to me to hear how many of your experiences match up with other people's. So I know there's a lot of people out there who are having these types of experiences, but like you, you know, have kept largely silent. I'm really excited that you decided to come onto the show and that you are sharing your encounters and sharing them with the world. And anyone out there listening, I want to remind you that this is a call-in show. So if you'd like to call in and ask our guest a question, the toll-free number is 888-228-4494. I'll give that out again in case you didn't have a pencil or a pen. So get ready to write it down. It's 888-228-4494. So, Gary, did you believe in UFOs growing up?
Yes, I was always very open-minded to it, Preston. I remember the first book I probably read when I was a kid was Chariots of the Gods. And, you know, you're a kid. You're open-minded to things. And I never doubted that there was something out there. I always found it interesting. I think with a lot of people that go through this, I never thought I would be the individual to be seeing them and communicating with them, and was kind of taken by surprise when it did happen, and was even taken more by surprise when it happens to you, Preston, at least with myself. I don't know if everybody's the same, but I think I'm the only person on the planet experiencing this, and I'm the only one that this is happening to. And then, you know, I've spoken with numerous people. I've been interviewed by other people before, and you start to find out that it's actually not uncommon, and it happens to a lot of people.
Right. You know, I agree. I heard that I think it was J. Allen Hynek. I read a quote by him that said, 1 in 40 people have had an onboard UFO experience. And this is when I first started researching. I thought, no, that's way too high. I don't believe it, because I know 40 people. So what I did was I actually started asking everyone I knew. And I got a real shock. I found 5 people within my circle of family, friends, and coworkers who had had what you would call an onboard UFO experience or a face-to-face encounter with ETs. So that's more than 1 in 40. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it is common. But now, you did have some encounters growing up, but you didn't really remember them, or haven't recalled them, or they've been suppressed, or...
Yeah, I guess, I did forget about them. It was when I was a very young child, Preston. And it's more, they were beings in my bedroom. And I never seen them. You could feel their presence. You could hear them moving around. And I was a young child, and I would call for my mom, and there's something in my room, and she would come and go, no, you're dreaming. You're just dreaming. It's a dream. But I'm trying to tell my mother that I wasn't sleeping. I was awake, and they're in my room. And, typical parents probably don't know. It's a child dreaming. And, I just forgot about it until I went through these experiences. Like you said, my first one, 25, and then it really kicked in when I was in my 30s. And that's when I remembered this as a kid, these beings being in my room. And once again, when I was in about the 6th grade, which was about 1976, I lived in Canada for a short time, and we lived far out in the country. And there, I remember them the same, coming to my room. And it scared me. Obviously, you're a kid. It's a different experience. For the most part, my experiences as an adult have been very exhilarating. They haven't been frightening. It's not this being brought up into a UFO and poked and prod and being tormented. It's been a very enlightening experience.
Wow. Well, you're definitely lucky about that. I mean, I've spoken to a number of people who have had UFO encounters and would rather have not have. But, for the most part, the majority of people I've talked to don't feel that the ETs are malevolent or evil. And that, that although they might be unemotional, that they don't want to harm humanity. And certainly no evidence of, Nazi-like torture with these experiences. So I'm actually very hopeful about it, all in all. And especially when, hearing encounters like yours, which, are decidedly positive in a lot of ways. So age 25, you had this incredible sighting. And you weren't alone. You're lucky about that.
Yeah.
Because... That gives you the corroboration. So what happened with this sighting at age 25?
I was with a friend of mine, and it was after work. We had gotten off work. We went to my apartment. I lived in Sunnyvale, California. And he didn't have a car, so I drove him over my apartment. We hung out for a little bit, and we're just listening to some music. I am a musician. He's watching me play my guitar a little bit. And then I go to take him home, and we're driving... through Sunnyvale, I believe it's been a while since I've been there, but I believe it's 237. And I'm talking to him, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden he quits answering. His end of the conversation just drops off, and I look over to see why he's not responding, and he's looking out the window, and there's just this big, huge UFO about the size of a shopping mall, not all that far, maybe 500 yards off the ground. We're a little ways away from it. And it's just sitting there, and he's sitting with his jaw open, and I'm all, oh my God, it's a UFO. So I get off of this freeway and start driving towards it, and he got very emotional. He didn't want to go near it, and he's saying, no, it's not a UFO, it's not a UFO. And I'm all, well, if it's not a UFO, what is it? And I'm driving towards it, and he's going, I don't want to go near this thing. And I'm driving, and I get a weird feeling that I'm being watched, and I look to the side of my car, the driver's side, and there is another UFO, not quite as big, but it's higher up in the sky, and it's following along with us. And you just get the feeling. You could tell that they're watching you. they understand that you see them and you're going towards it. And I tell them, if that's not a UFO, then what is this up here? And the closer we got, the more he got very emotional. He was actually crying. He'd take me home. I don't want to go near it. And as I told you last night, Preston, I never felt threatened. I never felt that I was going to get zapped up or taken away or harmed in any way. I was just intrigued. Maybe because, like, I had read a few books when I was a kid and always, you know, thought it would be neat to see this kind of thing.
Well, had you heard of abductions at this point? Of UFO abductions?
You know, yeah, I think I probably had. This was in the 80s, so I would say that was, I don't know if you'd say mainstream, but I'm sure I had, and it just never really popped into my mind, being abducted. I don't know.
And yet your friend was terrified.
Okay, I drop him off at home, and I go back to my apartment, and I'm telling my roommate, and my roommate's all kind of, you know, kind of jealous, going, wow, I would have loved to see this, you know, and it's not like he was upset or anything, but he's all, man, you know, I would have loved to experience the same thing. We all work together, me, my roommate, this guy. So the next day at work, I go, I don't want to mention his name. You know, we've seen this UFO last night. He's all, no, we didn't see nothing. And he just completely denied what we've seen.
Huh. Do you think he actually believed you saw nothing, or he just didn't want to talk about it?
He just didn't want to deal with it. He didn't want to acknowledge it.
Right.
And, I mean, I put him on the spot. You know, Greg, I just said his name. You're crying. You're very emotional about the whole thing. And he just didn't want nothing to do with it. No, it didn't happen. I had a lot of friends, but they made fun of me and teased me for a little while, you know, for about the next 2 weeks. You're seeing the little gray men and that kind of thing. And a couple of them, like I said, actually brought me over literature and said, here, you know, yeah, this happens to a lot of people. And it does get you interested in it. And, you know, one thing, and I didn't mention this to you, and after I spoke with my guides, they told me that particular sighting, there was a reason for it, and it's basically like turning on a light switch in a person, and it sets you on, I guess you would say, maybe a path. What it got me doing was researching different forms of spirituality. Not necessarily religion, but more, I was reading on reincarnation. It's hard to explain. It's just, I started coming across books and reading books, and definitely went out and started pursuing that. And it's not something you're really conscious that this switched out on inside of you. You just start doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time when I started seeing them when I was older, after I went through my mental experience, and then I really got heavy into it and getting on the internet and researching different sites and watching all the shows and contacting people and trying to talk to other people about what they've been through and what they've seen. At one point, I even talked with a friend of mine that is a marital family therapist and asked him, you know, look, this is what I'm going through. I've got this mental contact. I'm seeing these crafts. And he asked me, you know, and he's known me since I was a teenager. And he asked me, you know, are they asking you to do anything mean or bad or to harm people? And I said, no, actually just the opposite. They want me to go out and start an organization and help the homeless and help people, train people in trades or a job, get them off the street. It's just the exact opposite. And he told me, well, you know, other people are going through, they go through what I've been through, and if it's nothing bad, you're comfortable with it, just go with it.
Right.
So, kind of reinforced, made me feel better about myself, and, you know.
Well, it can still be a pretty disconcerting experience, I would imagine, especially when it first starts happening.
I think I took it very well. I mean, I was more excited than anything. I never really questioned it. I mean, some people have asked me, did you think you were losing your mind or possibly, you know, some kind of mental breakdown? And that never really came into my mind. a couple of people that I knew that I told I was seeing these and the mental communication, they said, you know, I think maybe you should go seek therapy. You know, you're seeing UFOs and you think you're communicating with them. And I know it sounds far-fetched, but when you sit there and experience it and they're giving you this information, it's just a whole different thing to deal with.
Right. And you were able to corroborate you were able to corroborate some of this information that they were giving you. I mean, right from the very beginning, right? They said, like, the police were coming, and then around the corner come the police. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That type of thing.
As I told you, I was homeless at the time, and I'm living in this truck, and I start getting this head rush, and it feels like your brain's flopping upside down in your head, and I would try laying down. I would try setting up. There was nothing I could do to get it to go away. Sometimes I would be able to chant Jimi Hendrix Mellow. For some odd reason, don't ask me why, that phrase just popped into my head, so I started saying it over and over and over like a chant, like maybe the Hindus or the Buddhists would chant something, and it would go away. Sometimes I could pick up a guitar and start playing it, and it would go away. This particular time, it didn't go away, so I got out of the back of my truck I was sleeping in, and I'm walking around, I'm trying to get this just to go away. And they tell me, the voice pops into my head and tells me, you know, you need to get back in your truck. There's the police are driving in the neighborhood, and it's not going to be good if they see you out here wandering around in the state that you're in. And I did. I climbed in the back of my truck, and, yeah, just as you said, the police drove by. And they started talking to me, and they're explaining things to me. And at that point, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm going with it, and I'm asking them questions. And it got to the point where I'm getting tired, and I want to go to sleep. And I'm telling them I'm afraid to go to sleep because I'm afraid if I go to sleep, it's going to go away, and I'll never be able to do this again. And they told me that they would be with me the rest of my life. Went to sleep, woke up the next day, and the first thing they said was, "Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?" And it went like that for 3 days, and they're just constantly giving me information, and I finally said, look, this is enough. It's just a constant go, 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 go. And at that point, they said, okay, we're just going to back off, and we will answer questions that you ask. It went really strong for about all through the 90s, Preston. And once again, I was homeless. I was dealing with personal struggles. I had a lot to get together, which I did. Now I've moved to Nevada. I'm very stable. I've been in the same house for 7 years. I got a good job. I still communicate with them. I will be sitting thinking about something, and they will answer my thoughts. So they are still there. They don't chime in as often as they used to, and it's a little fainter than it used to be. But yes, they are still there.
Is it the same voice or the same entity that's talking with you, or is there more than one?
Well, they told me, they give me a name, Quintale. They say, we're your spirit guides. We've been with you your entire life, not just this life, but they claim that they've worked with me in 14 previous lives before this. They gave me a name, Quintale, and they say that there are five of these humanoid aliens, not the big, the typical grays or reptilians with the big eyes that you know, very popular mainstream, but they're humanoid. When I say humanoid, I say they look exactly like us. You mentioned I've had encounters face-to-face, and I've been face-to-face with them, but they're not these big reptilian or praying mantis looking. They look exactly, they come to the same level as me. Long hair musicians.
Right,
and
right.
They're just exactly that, humanoid. And as I said, I've done a lot of research. I'm watching a lot of shows. And I guess it was fairly popular back after Roswell in the 50s that a lot of people talked about these humanoid aliens communicating with them and that they looked very, almost perfect. They would be very good-looking, clean features. But from what I've seen, and they've always came right down to the same level as me, and unfortunately I've never known it was them until after the situation is over.
That's very interesting. You know, I've talked to, you know, you mentioned it was popular in the 50s, and I think there's a lot of UFO researchers out there who are skeptical of the whole contactee phenomena. doing my research, I've talked to a lot of people who've seen completely human-looking ETs and described exactly what you're saying, that they were amazingly beautiful and, like, enlightened beings, spiritually enlightened, and that they had very positive experiences with them. So I don't think it stopped. I think it went underground, if anything, but it's definitely still going on.
I think it's still going on myself. Obviously, it is with me, Preston. And as I mentioned to you one night, I was interviewed by a gentleman from A&E. They were researching a documentary, and I told him my story and the contact and the humanoids. And he, when I was done, he said, yeah, you know, this is not uncommon. And that's when I was kind of shocked, because when you're going through this, you think you're the only person on the planet that has ever experienced this or gone through it. And he told me, no, it's actually common. Most people are not going to go out and start telling people they've been through this. They're afraid of what you're going to go through as far as people labeling you, being a nutcase, seeing and talking to aliens. With my experience, as I told you last night, they basically told me they're the same as us, the physical anyways, their body. The difference would be that they could use 100% of the same brain we're using 3 to 5% of.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. You know, I interviewed another gentleman whose case has some aspects to it that are similar to yours, and that he said that, you know, he's been seeing UFOs and has had experiences since he was a child, but that he also hears them talking to him, and they give him messages about, you know, a wide variety of things, and at some point they started giving him, like, psychic messages. There would be a person walking by, a complete stranger, and they would tell him, you need to go up to that lady and talk to her and tell her that about her husband who is dying and that he's going to be okay, and, you know, various comforting psychic messages. And you said you experienced similar things to that?
Yes, yes, I have. Not as much as picking a random person and saying, go up and approach them. They have done that to me. And I've been hesitant to do that. I've had some bad experiences with people. Mine was more people that I explain to them what I'm going through, and they come to me with questions asking about certain things. I have spent hours on the Internet. I used to go to different sites and say I would do these readings for free, and people would submit their questions. And sometimes I would just get hundreds and hundreds of these questions. And I kind of would pick and choose the more serious. I found you get a lot of people that it's just a game. And for part of it, the Internet, you get, I think, a share of kids that are on the Internet, and they want to play games, and it's just a game to them. But I tried to sort out the more serious people that seemed to want knowledge or maybe had issues that was kind of disturbing to them, and help them along with it and answer their questions. But yeah, they have before told me. I've been amongst people I've known, and they've said something, and I've told people what they've said, and some people are taken aback, some people, you know, go with it. I was just recently, not all that long ago, at a person's house watching a pay-per-view, and this guy was there, and I didn't know the guy, and I just met the guy whose house I was at. And this guy started talking about his mother, that they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her with this illness, and that she thought it was her her stepdad was poisoning her. And they kept telling me that, no, it's not the stepdad that's poisoning her, that it's more a karmic agreement that they had. The lady was wanting to leave the man and break up the marriage, and she was getting ill when she would start to separate from them because she didn't like the way things were going. Part of her agreement with this guy was to stick this out and deal with it, and she was paying back a karmic debt to him, which a karmic debt would be something, if somebody was in a previous life and they maybe killed somebody, you got an opportunity and a next lifetime to go back and repay that karmic debt. That process of killing somebody incurs a karmic debt. Down the road, you got to pay that back, and that's exactly what this lady was doing. And I didn't know the people, Preston, so I was very I know the guy's house I was at, and I know his political views, and I know how he was about it, and I just didn't think it would go over very well. I really wanted to tell the guy this, but I ended up not saying nothing. And it's a hard decision to make, you know. Do I start an argument? Do I possibly get somebody upset at me? Or do I just hit them with this information? It could be a very rough decision to make. I don't know the other guy you talked to, if he would just go up to these people and blurt it out. If he does, I kind of envy him, because I'm kind of a little self-conscious on doing that. Sometimes I wish, Preston, that I could just go up and tell these people this and not worry about any ramifications or what they're going to say or any of that.
Right, right. Well, he does have a hard time with it at times, and the response hasn't always been great. But, you know, one lady did approach him years later and thanked him profusely because of the information he was able to give her. Helped her very much.
Yeah, and I've been through that with the people on the Internet, and it's a very good feeling. Like I told you, Preston, I didn't make money off it. It definitely wasn't a money-making thing, and I did the majority of what I was doing for free. I had a few people that paid me basically out of their own kindness. I even tried at one point to try to do it as a profession, to make money and do readings of like a professional psychic, and it just didn't work. I didn't feel right about it, and it just didn't work out for me, Preston. But, yeah, and I've had a few people just out of the kindness of their heart and appreciate the information to pay me. But it's not about the money. It's about getting people the information.
Right. You know, there's another lady I interviewed who lives not far from me in, here in Acton in Southern California, and she's also been having a lot of UFO experiences and has, you know, very positive experiences as well. She's been given a lot of spiritual information and stuff like this, and was just having so many encounters, and all her friends, you know, and her neighbors were seeing UFOs. And so I told her, I'm like, well, you know, if you're seeing this, having this much activity and you're in this close of contact with the ETs, is it possible you could ask them to show themselves to me? And she said, sure. She called me back like 2 weeks later, and she said, okay, they said okay, that we're supposed to drive down the freeway here on the 210 freeway and pull off the freeway on this little dirt road at a certain time, and that's exactly what we did. We showed up right on time, and you know, Gary, right when we climbed up this little hill and got to the spot, at that second, they showed up. And you know, I've seen UFOs on a number of occasions, you know, since I started investigating this. Nothing growing up or anything like that, but as soon as I got involved, I started seeing them regularly, and this was probably, I would say, the most beautiful and close encounter of a lot of them. It was this enormous house, it was the size of a house, but it was a perfect sphere and just covered with golden lights. And it's hard to describe. It was really, really bright and very beautiful, and it just maybe 50 feet away and 20 feet off the ground, 15 feet. And it moved very quickly around the hillside and into an area where we couldn't follow. But, I mean, wow, that was, it was amazing and exhilarating. And she showed me the UFOs again on another occasion after that. So, and you had that experience as well?
I had that experience as well, Preston. I even did it with some people over the Internet that I didn't know who they are or where they were. Different countries. And it worked. They would appear for people. And I'm not the first person I've heard of doing this. A lot of people around me, without asking them to appear, they would start seeing these. There was a guy I was talking with for a little bit, Preston, that played music. He's a musician. He's a singer. And he was in Indiana, and he started seeing these. And he found my website on the Internet. And I guess he wrote to several people, and he wrote to me, you know, saying I'm starting to see these UFOs, and I wrote back, and he said that I was probably the more nicer person that talked with him, and we talked regularly. We'd call and talk on the phone, and it started increasing with him, with his friends, and they were seeing him. Last time I talked to him, his band was actually being signed by a major label. He was going to Los Angeles to talk to a gentleman named Andy Johns, which has produced numerous bands. And I haven't spoken to him since. I don't know what happened. I just recently wrote to him on MySpace and asked him, Mikey. I had a number. I called his number and his girlfriend was, yeah, that guy did this, did that, and apparently they had a falling out. But I don't know what happened to him. He was in Indiana. He was going through the same thing. And he had done, asked him to appear for people they had. I tried to get him going and did some experiments with him to see if he could get the mental communication as well, but that didn't seem to work with him. But they were definitely around him. He was seeing them. He was filming them. Other people were seeing them. But I tried to see if I could get him to do the mental communication, and for some odd reason, that didn't work with him.
Huh. Interesting. Well, maybe there's just a certain plan that they've got going on, and they contact people to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I think some people are being contacted and don't even know it, and you know they're being inspired in certain ways. And I thought what you said was interesting about how there's a number of musicians, like Jimi Hendrix, actually, who's had very extensive encounters. And I think that what you said was very interesting in that some of the creativity that these musicians experience, such as yourself, are, you know, partly inspired by the ET experience. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, they definitely seem, well, from what I understand, Preston, creativity, there's a saying that when you die, you can't take it with you. Like if you're rich and you got cars and nice houses and nice physical things. And they told me, well, you can take the creativity with you, you've developed with you. And that's why they work with people on that level. It's something that you can develop in your physical life. Then when you pass over to the other side, you actually retain this and take with you. And yeah, I did a little research on the internet, and a lot of musicians seem to have experiences with them. And Jimi Hendrix being one of them, but he didn't want to go public with it. There was an experience where he was on a bus. They were in a tour bus, and they got stuck in a snowdrift. And the bus, they were, most of them were sleeping, and he was awake. I'm trying to remember the singer's name. They thought literally they were going to freeze to death and die. And apparently this UFO come down, a being got out, it walked around the bus, it melted the snow, the bus started back up, the heater system started working, the being walked up to the window, put his hand up against Jimmy's, and Jimmy put his hand up against his. This being got in the UFO, it took off, and they drove off. And the singer is basically going, wow, what was that all about? And Jimi Hendrix is all, look, you know, it's a cool thing. Just don't, it's between us. Don't, you know, make a big deal over it. And I guess it was after he died that this guy come out with the story.
Right, I've heard, I know the story. Knight, is that his last name?
Yeah, Curtis Knight. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I've Curtis heard the story. It's really amazing. I mean, it's really incredible. Now, everyone listening out there, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we're talking tonight with Gary White, who's had some very extensive encounters with extraterrestrials and some very unique encounters, and I think a lot of information about UFOs. I mean, your encounters are really answering a lot of questions that I think a lot of people have, and that certainly I have. Mm-hmm. And bringing a lot of corroboration. And there's another thing that you told me which just kind of blew my mind when you said it earlier, which was about how UFOs can change shape and transform themselves, which has always been, I think, a real puzzle to a lot of UFO researchers and has caused them to develop some wild theories that are that ETs are not extraterrestrials at all, or that there's some sort of control phenomena, and lots of, you know, interdimensional time travelers, this type of thing. But one guy I interviewed, his name is Ruben, and he lives here in Southern California as well, has been having a lot of UFO encounters, and he was being chased by a helicopter on the way home, and he was certain, no, actually with a UFO, the UFO was chasing him, and right when he got to his house, it transformed into a helicopter. Just like a normal-looking helicopter. And, you know, I've heard of this before. I've read it. I haven't interviewed a lot of people who've experienced that type of thing, but I do run across it occasionally. And you say you've had some experiences like this as well.
Yes, I've definitely had experiences like this. Once again, with my mental communication, and they're explaining things to me. And what they explain to me is when they get in these crafts, it's like a ball of solder or maybe a blob of mercury. It's a silver ball. And it really depends on how many of them, one, two, three, four beings are in the craft. They get in this, and they could form it mentally to any shape they want it to be, a helicopter, a bus, a car, a UFO, a saucer, a triangle. And they're telling me this, and I'm with another friend of mine, and we're watching this, and it's a saucer-shaped craft, looks like your typical flying saucer that they talk about. It's setting maybe, once again, I would say 500 yards off the ground. There's a beam going to the ground, and maybe 5 feet off the ground, some kind of plasma-looking moving light. And it set there for maybe about 10 to 15 minutes. The front of it turned into a cloud, and it kind of rolled, and it flew over us, and it was an airplane, a double-prop, normal-looking airplane.
Huh. Wow.
And they're just kind of, well, we're just showing you an example of how this is done. And apparently these crafts are not as much like a car, a physical thing. It's more a biological. It's almost alive. It's an extension of them, I guess you could say. How the silver is maybe a suit they put on that they can form to what they want to look like.
Wow. That's pretty interesting because, you know, I've heard that, you know, some of the UFOs that have allegedly been recovered or crashed have no engines as we think of them. And the interiors are very sparse, and there's a lot of speculation that they are controlled through some sort of biological interface or that they're alive themselves. That definitely rings true.
Well, what they told me, Preston, that the way these things move around is it creates a force field around it. And they said it's almost like having a bar of soap in a bathtub and you squeeze it and it shoots off in a direction. That they put a force field around this and they weaken one side of it and that's the direction it will go.
Huh. Wow.
And some people, I've seen this also on some of the shows I've watched and some of this I've researched, is sometimes you will see these and it'll look like a halo around them. You can almost see this force field around them.
Wow. You know, another thing you mentioned, which I found really fascinating and kind of disturbing, actually, because I hear it from pretty much everyone who has had extensive encounters. And from so many people that I interviewed, they say the same type of thing, that we are, in our future, in humanity's future, we're going to experience some environmental changes. And disasters, basically, and not necessarily good, but also in some ways good. And like one guy told me that he's convinced there's going to be a second coming type event. And he was very vague about it because he's not super religious, but it was a very specific thing to say and kind of unusual. And so I was shocked to hear you say something very similar. And,
very similar, yes.
And I'm like, wow, you know, why are people saying this? And, I mean, I've heard so many people saying that, you know, humanity could experience a great loss of life in the upcoming years if we don't change our ways, and that ultimately it's going to be beneficial for humanity because it's kind of a rebirth.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they told me. 2012, that there would be a polar shift in. It's not the end of the world, it's a recycling, is what they called it. And it's pretty obvious at this point, Preston, with the polar caps and the global warming. I don't think that's no joke, and I think it's a serious matter. I think at this point it's too late for us to reverse this and turn it around. One of the things I did mention to you, that what they have told me we're going through is they're developing us to use 100% of our brain. It's a developmental process that we're going through. But they are also doing this with different humanoids on different planets. like the Zeta Reticuli would be another planet where they're developing the humanoids, that these, what my guides would call the Gongolais, what people call the reptilians or the greys, they're developing the physical bodies for the humanoids. Well, Earth is where they're getting their genetics from. It's like a genetic warehouse. That's why we have different races of people. We have people that live in very cold environments, very hot environments. We got different types of animals, whether it be on the land or under the water. And at this point, we're destroying this, which is what the recycling is going to be about. It's not the end. It's going to start over. It's going to recycle. And the same thing, I guess you heard from somebody else, that before this, there's going to be an enlightening. What we would basically, they said it's not Jesus, but the equivalent of the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right. The guy who told me that was the same guy who's also receiving messages from the ETs, telling, you know, him, giving him psychic messages to relate to other people. Mm-hmm. So his case seems to be really similar to yours in a lot of ways. He lives in upstate New York.
No kidding.
But and his stuff is still really active and going on right now. So he doesn't find it particularly. It's very traumatic for him, I should say.
Is it? Is it disturbing to him?
It is, and I think he's just a little bit. He feels a little bit out of control, and a little bit violated, because he's having a lot of missing time type of experiences, and he recalls bits of it, you know, with these gray-type ETs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this idea of this planet being sort of a genetic warehouse, that's fascinating to me, because clearly the stories that are coming out of even ancient literature, you know, such as the Bible or what have you, show that these ETs or supernatural entities have always seem to shown a strong interest in genetics or, you know, that type of thing. And we still see that a lot. I mean, I've talked to so many people who start having UFO encounters when they're pregnant, or they see a UFO close-up days after their baby is born, or right when they're due, and things like this.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there's definitely a connection there.
And I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as this polar shift, and it can be disturbing. You know, there's going to be a lot of loss of life. And 2012 is not very far off. It's coming very quickly. And one thing I've learned through my experiences, and personally I've been comfortable with, that with dying, when you die, we're basically going home. That's our natural state of being. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. This whole reincarnation, they explained to me that to learn complete human understanding, man, woman, and child, we go through about a 2,000-year process and maybe between 150 and 140 lives to learn this. So this particular life is like a set of clothes. I mean, I've become comfortable with this and accepted it. You know, you can't really, you know, put that into somebody else. Everybody's got their own spiritual beliefs. But it just kind of looks like something to do to happen with the progress of our planet and the environment at this point.
Well, did they give the exact date, 2012?
Not as much an exact date from what I'm to understand, Preston. It's going to be later in December of 2012.
Wow. Well, you know, I've heard that from a number of different sources, and, you know, it's not only people who are having ET experiences who are talking about, you know, upcoming Earth changes, so to speak, but near-death experiencers, out-of-body explorers are getting these types of visions. The Native American elders and, you know, spiritually enlightened monk-type people.
Uh-huh.
Are also giving out these same messages, and our scientists, for that matter, our mainstream scientists, are saying the same thing. So, I don't know. I mean, do they have any advice to how to get through what's appearing to be, you know, some pretty traumatic times up ahead?
You know, myself, and I've had other people ask me this, Preston, and I've accepted it that it's going to happen, but I'm not changing things that I've done. For example, would I cash out my 401k and go hog wild spending money? No. I'm going about my life as if it's not going to happen, so if it does not happen, I'm prepared. Like I said, I'm comfortable with the fact that, I mean, everybody's going to die. None of us are going to live forever, Preston. It's going to happen sometime. If it happens, then it happens. But, you know, and even like my fiance just started a job, and she's all, well, should I get in this 401k? Yeah, sign up for your 401k and, you know, go about life. I'm going about it like it does. I'm more excited, Preston, and would really like to see, now that you mentioned this, other people with the second coming, the whatever this event's going to be.
Sure.
This I would like to see. If that happens before now in 2012, I don't know if I would change anything I'm doing, but that would kind of solidify the 2012 thing to me. But myself, personally, I'm not changing anything that I do. I am going to continue to work my job and work for my future and stabilize my life, Preston. As I told you, I went through 10 years of being homeless, and I lived through that, very rough times. And I will not go back to that again. So I'm very much into being stable and secure and taking care of business, Preston. And just going with the flow. If it happens, it's going to happen. You know, there's not much we can do to avoid that.
All right. Well, living in fear is not going to help anybody.
No, it's not.
Now, another thing about your experiences, which I find fascinating, are, you know, when you've actually seen them face to face, and yet you don't quite realize it at the time, or they're keeping that secret from you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind describing one of those types of encounters?
Yeah, it's I will humorously say it's annoying. There was a time that I went to this area where I've had numerous experiences, and they told me I needed to face my fears. So I went up and I knocked on the gate to face my fears, and a weird kind of, it was like a laser's going off. And a lady come out of this trailer where normally a guy with binoculars with watches, kind of intimidating, a little Chinese lady. Comes out, she walks out to where I'm at, standing at this gate, and I'm not knowing what to say, so I ask for Quintilay, which is my spirit guide, and she says, no Quintilay. Okay, well, sorry to disturb you. This was on Thanksgiving. This was what I was doing with my Thanksgiving, you know. They've improved my life, and I'm very thankful for that, Preston, and I do thank them all the time for improving my life. So that's why I was doing this on my Thanksgiving. So we start to leave, and we're up in the hills, and we're actually in a rain cloud. It's not physically raining, but it's wet. You're in the middle of the cloud. And we come around the corner, and there's these five long hair guys about the same age as me. They're playing very expensive guitars out in the rain. And I pull up, and I can talk and talk and talk. I don't have a problem talking. I've never had a problem with this mental communication. Well, I pull up to these five guys, and the mental communication goes out the door. I can't do that, and I kind of don't know what to say. I'm kind of just tongue-tied, and I ask them, isn't the rain going to ruin your guitars? And they say, well, we will just tweak the truss rod, which is kind of a personal thing with me. Being a musician, there's a metal rod that goes through the neck of a guitar that you can adjust with an Allen wrench, and it raises the strings up and down closer to the neck. Being homeless and living in a truck, I was constantly having to adjust this because the temperature changes, so it kind of hit home. So I asked them, you know, are you a band or a group? And they're all, well, kind of. And they would just very blank, quick answer and stare at me. And then there's one guy that had to be at least 6'4", and he's got like a cell phone, and he's running in a circle, literally running in a circle, very tight circle, almost just spinning. And he's saying, he can't hear me, he can't hear me, he can't hear me. So I'm sitting there, they're looking at me, I'm looking at them, I got a friend with me that's kind of the same thing, not knowing what to say. And at the time, I mentioned to you, Preston, that I was still smoking marijuana, which I went through a process of trying to quit, and I finally, all that passed me, and I have. And I asked them, you know, do you guys get high? And they go, from time to time. and just stare at me. And I'm all, okay, I didn't know what to do, so we left. And we get to where we get on the freeway, and we're pretty much away from them, and I asked them, you know, what was up with that? Was that you? And they said, yeah, that was us. And I asked them, well, why don't you tell me when I'm in front of you this is you? We could talk, you know. I would like to talk to you face-to-face. And they just said Icarus, and they told me that twice. And I started researching Icarus and the story of Icarus with him and his father being stuck in a maze. They make wings of wax, which they float up over. His father tells them, you can float up over the maze, see your way out. Just don't fly too close to the sun because you will melt your wings and you will die. And that's exactly what Icarus did. He flew too close to the sun, and his wings right. melted, and he died. And I kind of interpreted that as well. I'm not listening to what my father was saying, because at the time they were telling me to quit smoking the marijuana, and I was struggling with doing that. Interpreted that as that, and I got a friend once again that I talked to, the family therapist, has his master's in psychology, and I told him about this experience. And he told me there was another interpretation of Icarus, which is don't look God in the eyes.
Right.
Which they've never claimed to be God, and they told me that God is universal. Our God is their God. God is a helpful force that doesn't judge us, but rather guides us and helps us make decisions.
Wow.
And they never have claimed that we're God. And, you know, I've heard the term demigods. Maybe I would say that they're possibly what created us and put us here in the Earth and these other planets. But it was just kind of hit home when he said that, the don't look God in the eyes. And I guess it's not meant for me to see them face to face and talk to them and realize it at the time. You know, each time, and a couple of other times, like I said, I ran into a gentleman come out of the hills. I was homeless. He was a black guy, very nice guy, long hair, guitar player, oddly enough. And he took me and a very good friend of mine, that I've known since he was about 13, and we currently play music together. He took us around and he showed us, look, you could eat here, you can get food at this place, you can get resources here. He drove us around. My friend that I play the music with actually let him took a shower and fed him some food at the house he was staying with, which is a friend of ours. Then this guy took us to a church and said, look, every Tuesday and Thursday you can come here. You can get food, you can eat. And the church, very nice people. They fed us. They were very nice people. We go to the church. You know, he sees a group of people. Don't actually remember the number. Might have been five. And he says, okay, well, hey, it was nice, you know, and I'm going to go off and eat with my friends. And he took off, and we never seen him again. And once again, he was the guy that pointed me up to this, what I call the upside-down airplane. It's at the end of Morrison Road in Fremont, California, and there's an upside-down airplane, and what I believe, what they've even told me as a docking station, kind of goes back to what I seen you, Preston, on the UFO Hunter show, and you talked about the USOs, where they go in the water, and there's mm-hmm. possibly a base that they're getting to. And even before that show, a long time ago, my guides told me that that's exactly what they do. They go into the ocean, they go into these underground bases, and then they come out through different docking stations, and that they have these throughout the planet. These crafts are stored within our planet, and when they travel, they don't travel intergalactically in a spaceship. They basically slip out of a physical body. They travel spiritually, and then they will manifest into a body. They've basically said the way they can do this is speeding up and slowing down molecular structures.
Right. Wow.
You know.
It's amazing. This is all very, very interesting. Now, do you think that they're working towards becoming a more public presence towards humanity, or revealing themselves like in an official way at some point?
Well, yeah, that's what I think, and that's what they've explained to me, you know, because I asked about that. We had this Roswell thing, you know, they say, did it happen, did it not happen? After that point of that, they said it's been an acclimatization process, that they basically are getting us used to their presence, which is building up to this second coming of, for lack of a better word, and what I think it may be is the manifestation of them and us actually publicly knowing who they are. And I've discussed it with you, Preston. I would like to get a group of people together, and I'm at the point where I watch all these shows on TV, and some people say, you know, I see them, they exist. Some people say, no, they don't exist. They're flares, they're swamp gas, whatever it may be. I would like to get past that mentality, and they're here. I mean, I know that. I can't put that into everybody, but with what I've seen, I don't need a government stamp of approval to tell me what I've seen and what I've experienced. I know what I've seen. You can feel in you that they're not of this planet, and to accept that they are here, and to move forward with what can we learn from them. And I think that will get us in the direction of maybe them becoming public, or even, you know, this whole second coming, whatever this event is going to be. They've never told me exactly what it's going to be. That's kind of where it gets vague.
Right, which seems to me is not far off in our future.
No.
And also, certainly, the UFO subject is continuing to get a lot of media attention despite any so-called cover-ups, which I do think are taking place, but obviously it's not working. And this phenomena is going to manifest in whatever way it's going to, I think.
Exactly.
Right.
And I mean, it's become very mainstream, Preston, down to where it's a marketing thing with children. You know, you could probably go out there and find children's underwear with aliens on it.
Oh, no doubt.
It's just really gone in that direction. It's just increasing and increasing and increasing in a lot of ways. And it's one thing, and some people, I don't like the fact the way a lot of movies portray them to be these monsters and this and that, and they're going to destroy us. They told me a long time ago, if they were going to take over Earth and destroy us, we would have never known what a UFO or an alien was. They would have just did this.
Do they say how many of them there are?
They've never given me an actual number of how many. They've told me, and I got in a computer somewhere, an old computer like Windows 3.1, where they started naming their in groups of what they would call an entity. An entity would be a group of souls, like say maybe myself, Preston, you, my girlfriend, my mom, my dad, your dad. When we leave these physical bodies and complete human understanding and learn all of this, we become our full entity like that. We're cut off in a group. When we go through this being born on Earth and the complete human understanding, we fragment off into individuals. They have independent families with different names.
Wow.
They didn't give me an action. They might have. I could do some research in a computer. They might have said how many families. They call them families, which would be a group of a number of souls.
Right. Well, you know what, Gary? Our time is pretty much up.
Yes.
I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. Do you still have a website that you want to point people out
yes,
to?
Yes. TheAlienExplanation.com.
Okay.
Just the true spelling, all one word. TheAlienExplanation.com is my website. It needs to be updated. It's kind of old, very plain. It's got some text. People can contact me through that. If anyone ever wanted to contact me, psychicman99@gmail.com. I'm open to answering questions and all of that. And yeah, definitely open about it.
Cool.
Definitely serious people. If people are serious about it, and I wouldn't mind communicating with people, Preston.
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there who are very interested in the subject, and as the phenomena escalates, I think people are going to be very interested in what's going on. So I want to thank you again, Gary, for coming on to the show. It's been fascinating, and your story is definitely amazing. I hope a lot of people will benefit from it and certainly should listen to it.
I hope so, Preston. You know, thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the forum to talk about all of this. And, you know, I'd just like to end and say that's what they've told me it's about, is helping people. And if I could help somebody, you know, that's great. That's what I would like to do. But, yeah, thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity, Preston.
Well, it's my pleasure. Maybe in the future we could have you back on again.
Okay, that would be fine.
Awesome. Well, everyone, that's our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our show tonight
has been all about UFOs, basically the UFO experiences of Gary White. And if you want to contact him, his website is The Alien Explanation. Is that correct? www.thealienexplanation.com. And until next week, I want to thank you all for listening, and keep your eyes to the skies.